Support for this episode of Dungeons & DeAsians has been brought to you by Hero Forge Custom Miniatures, an amazing company that's helping us design the miniatures that we want to see at our gaming table. Learn more about them at heroforge.com. Hello and welcome back to Dungeons & DeAsians. My name is Daniel, and I'm joined by two of our three regular cast members. I have Steve, and I have Amar. Agatha could not be with us for this episode of Dungeons & DeAsians because she get married. She get married, like...
How dare she get married?
She's getting married this weekend. So we weren't like, Agatha, come play D&D with us. You can bring your fiancé. No, we were like, we got this. And instead of Agatha, we have a very special guest. We have Kiana Shaw.
Yay!
We have Kiana with us to dive into this episode. This is actually perfect timing because we have been planning this for a very long time. And you were always going to be the first guest in the main series because you play a pivotal role in our world, your character. I mean, if you wanted, you could just fuck it all up right now. If you really wanted to. But we have you today to play our empress, our queen, the ruler of all under the sky, the empress, Josha, the supreme.
Mm-hmm.
That's you.
That's me.
And before we do that, we have to do some news. We got some things. Steve, you got something.
Oh, yeah.
Because you normally don't have something to share, but now you have something to share.
Yeah, usually my thing to share is like, I'm pumped to be here. Let's play some Dungeons & Dragons. But no, this might actually get to share that I'm going to PAX you this year. So that's December 6th to 8th. That's going to be so cool. I usually don't go to like these kind of cons. I usually go to like anime cons where I do cosplay and like other cosplay shenanigans. And I never really go to like sit down and like play games. So I'm really, really excited.
So if you're going to PAX Unplugged, are you going as well, Cam?
I am going to PAX Unplugged.
We should have talked about this before. Okay.
How are you getting there? Are you flying?
I'm flying there, yeah.
I'm road tripping down.
If you road trip, you go through Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Home of the Dunder Mifflin paper mill.
One of the characters in The Office, well, we could say two of the characters in The Office are Asian. Kelly Kapoor and obviously Jim Halpert, the real Jim Halpert is Asian. We all know that.
Played by
Randall Park.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's The Office?
Well, The Office is an American sitcom based on a British sitcom by Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais.
Oh.
It's about a mid-tier paper supply company called Dunder Mifflin, later Sabre, a.k.a. Sabre, and then back to Dunder Mifflin. It's a mockumentary TV series. It's my favorite show.
Thank you. That was so thorough.
I was going to say thank you, Wikipedia.
Well, one time when I was a teacher at the ROM, I was teaching a pottery class, and the kids, while they were working, were like, Daniel, tell us a story. So I ended up telling them over the course of 2 weeks the plot of all 9 seasons of The Office.
Oh my god.
Except in this, I was like, there's this guy, and his name was Jim, and he's the villain of the story. And Dwight was the hero of the story. Because Jim is really a villain. Jim's an asshole. Like,
yeah.
All the stuff he does to Dwight is really unprovoked.
Yeah.
So doesn't he have an episode later in the later seasons that I didn't watch where he kind of has a sense of self-awareness about this because he reads like his HR report or something like that?
Yeah, in a later season they do this whole thing. It's the conflict resolution episode where he has to go through all the pranks that he's done to Dwight.
Oh my.
Like, I hit my head with my phone. I sense that Jim's responsible because he weighted his phone with nickels and took them all out, and then he bashes himself in the head.
That remains one of my favorite pranks, actually.
Yeah. But, Kiana, you should go to Scranton. There's really nothing there, but...
I'll ask the people I'm road tripping down with because I don't drive. They're driving, so...
But the two of you, to get back on it, the two of you... I took us all on that tangent. The two of you are going to be at PAX Unplugged. Yeah. Amar, you don't have any news this time.
Unfortunately not.
I have a little bit of news, but it's Asians Represent news.
Amazing.
So we have our first Asians Represent game out. It's called Misfortune Quest, and it's actually on our itch page, aznsrepresent.itch.io. And it's a micro RPG that I wrote with Sungjin Park, Lemmy Walsh, and Ed Chuck at Big Bad Con. We wrote it in 15 minutes. Recorded it as an episode, the 15-minute Game Jam episode, which is the previous one on your feed. And all of the proceeds from the sale of Miss Fortune Quest, we're going to donate to Room to Read, which is a charity that empowers kids for like education and literacy. Really excited about that. So every time we go to a con, we're going to try to record a 15-minute game jam, and the proceeds from that will go to a charity or advocacy group. So yeah, head to azns.itch.io and donate, get yourself a copy of Miss Fortune Quest. It's a game about eating fortune cookies and telling stories. And I ate a lot of fortune cookies when we designed that. I had so many.
Hold on. You designed it in 15 minutes. How many fortune cookies were you eating?
Okay, that day it was inspired by all of the fortune cookies that I ate that day.
Yeah.
I ate a whole box of fortune cookies covered in chocolate.
Like, didn't you, you went to,
I went to a fortune cookie factory.
Yeah, you went to the fortune cookie factory.
Oh, okay. I was like, why were you, did you have these?
And they were coated in chocolate. They're handmade.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I shot video. So
yes, I saw this. Yeah, yeah.
And, I ate a box. I ate 12 fortune cookies.
Wow.
It's not a lot of cookie, but it felt like a lot of cookie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a picture of me passed out.
I mean, yeah, it's a very good
and the
picture.
The fortune cookie box, the empty one is in the frame. Yeah, so go buy Miss Fortune Quest. It's for a good cause.
Go buy some fortune cookies as well.
Yeah, go buy some fortune cookies. But if you're in San Francisco.
Okay, but what were your fortunes? Anything that stood out?
No.
That's fine.
The generic stuff. I did have one really good fortune cookie one time, but it wasn't from this trip. It said, ask not what your fortune cookie can do for you, but what you can do for your fortune cookie.
Wow, it's real deep. That's real deep.
It's real deep.
Eat it?
Break it open and eat it.
Piece of paper too.
Yeah. Or is the fortune cookie going to eat me? Like, I'm very confused here.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's a horror game. Like my printer upstairs.
Oh my God.
Anyways, so we're back with D&D, and we have a couple things. I want to go over our wishes from session 3. Steve wanted to level up plus NPC interaction that drives plot, and then plus Kiana present. Check.
My wish came true.
Agatha, Dongfeng wants to find answers. Agatha, you get married, so your wish isn't being fulfilled here. You have another wish. Eternal love. Amar, you just wished for Kiana to be present.
It's just me.
And
I'm the gift.
And then wished for a food scene in Chang'an, because all I want is a Naruto and Iruka Sensei scene, but a banquet scene over a long table with maybe two people with lots of eye contact is also suitable.
I feel like you would just play an RPG that's just eating food with someone else. Like my dinner with Andre, the RPG.
Yeah. And I'll also be okay with Waleed awkwardly present at this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just like Waleed's eating all the food.
No table manners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My dinner with Andre with Waleed.
With Waleed.
dinner with Daniel.
Oh, we should go get dinner.
Yes, we should. And we should bring Anderson, of course.
Yes, we should.
Yeah.
Now, session 4. This is technically our 5th episode of Dungeons and Dungeons, but it's session 4. And let's start with a little bit of an introduction. Dongfeng, the river calls. Those were the last words that were uttered by that ferocious Mogwai that you encountered in the barn east of Josha's spear. That was the fortress. Meanwhile, the party is racing through the streets of the Xia capital of Chang'an, with Dongfeng severely wounded, with deep jade-green blood seeping from their wounds. Now, since Agatha's not here, I think it best that we not put, Agatha's character in danger or anything out of, respect to her character.
Yep.
But also to focus on the guest that we have here. Do you want to introduce your character, Kiana?
Yeah, yes.
Because you made a mood board.
I did make I made a whole Pinterest board. I think some preface should be that when Daniel and I spoke and he asked me to guess, he said, you can be whatever you want. And I said, Daniel, I want to be hot and villainous.
This was at the Critical Role party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at the Critical Role party after you introduced me to Matt.
All I said, make me smoochable and make me hot.
And then I escalated and said, do you want to be the empress of the entire land?
I went, yes, sign me up.
It could have been anything, but I was like, you know what? We'll make you the empress.
So yeah, so that gives some context as to who I am playing.
Just the smoochable empress.
Yeah. Stupid Joseph. Sexy empress.
Is this why we're at war? Is this why Xiao's at war? That's up to Kiana.
Yeah, yeah. So Empress Joshua, who is the leader, the supreme leader of this land here that our game takes place in, she, how to describe her? She's a, while she is very powerful, and she's not a bad leader, she has some questionable morals and some questionable goals. But it's okay. Nobody needs to know about that.
Yet.
And she had personally tasked a certain player character to go on their mission. And now she's awaiting news as to figure out what happened exactly. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zhou Xia is the monarch of Xia, the supreme ruler of everything under the sky. And even the commander-in-chief of the military, even that. You are, I don't want to say the dictator.
No, I'm the empress. There's a difference.
The smoochable empress, not the smoochable dictator. The smoochable empress of Xia. And you have some supreme powers that nobody else has. Mm-hmm. Like you can appoint government officials. This also extends to you as a player.
Oh, good.
You can appoint government officials. So if you decide to appoint Waleed as a government official, I cannot change that.
Oh, I thought she was going to appoint me as a government official.
Oh, Amar. Well, I mean, we can make you a character. You can modify the laws and issue new laws under imperial edicts. Of course, you have a court of ministers. Mm-hmm. You have conferences and debates between all of them. And you have four ministers that you call dukes. The first is Wei, the commandant of justice, who's a bureaucrat, is responsible for all of your edicts and is a judge who travels to the borderlands to basically act on your behalf because you are too important.
I'm obviously can't leave the palace. Like, what are you talking about?
At your own free will or?
No, it's a safety thing.
It's a safety thing. Okay, there are assassins everywhere. then there's
some of them in your own employ.
Bum, bum, bum. Whoa,
metagaming, Amar. Because I was just about to talk about Lai Yun, the Minister of War and the father to La Ning, Steve's character. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. And his wife, La Shun, who oversees the Shadow Sisters. Do you want to talk about the Shadow Sisters, Steve?
Yeah. So I kind of, when we were talking about La Ning's backstory and kind of what she is, we talked about her being an assassin and just kind of being like secret assassins. And I think it made sense that her family would be very, very, very large. So the Shadow Sisters is kind of like the, I guess, like the street name for the group of assassins. You know, not much is known about them. It's a lot of rumors, a lot of, you know, intrigue, ghost stories, maybe things that just kind of keep people on their toes. No one really wants a visit from the Shadow Sisters. No one wants to really know too much.
Do the Shadow Sisters visit foreign lands as well?
Conflicting stories.
Prequel. Okay, sweet. And then, of course, there's Chang, the Minister of Labor and Art, who's responsible for, like, all the construction and hiring the people to do all of the crazy monumental architecture that Zhou Xia requests. Or it doesn't have to be crazy, but...
Yeah, they're probably pretty...
It's probably pretty extravagant.
Opulent.
Yes. Like murals on the ceilings.
Yeah, a lot of very expensive materials. The most... avant-garde of designers. It's definitely a way of displaying power.
Definitely. And then there is, of course, Jin, the Grand Chancellor of Gold, who oversees the market and, of course, scales. In Chinese culture and in Chinese history, the scales, the units of measurement, were very, very important. Mm-hmm. And then we have one other character who Amar might be playing.
Whoa.
Depends. It's Min, the Grand Tutor of Xia. The tutor to Zhou Xia, the empress, the child of the sky child, the one who is supposed to represent the gods and oversee all of the mortals. She has a tutor.
Yeah. Yeah. For morals.
For morals. It's like the CLC.
I was thinking about him as a bit more like, say, Aristotle to Alexander or something.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
when I wrote it, I was like, this is like my Chinese teacher. Oh. That was me slapping the back of my hand.
I don't remember that in The Good Place.
Okay, so Dongfang has been hospitalized under the watchful care of, you know, Chang'an's greatest doctors to protect him. Them, I say. I want to know what is Walid doing and what is Lan Ning doing? What are we doing in the moment after Dongfang is put in the infirmary?
Sorry, before we go on, should we review our lines of mails?
We should, because Kiana's here. Good call.
And we also have our safety tools at the table as well, just for everybody at home.
We have our X's and O, X and O cards as well. So our lines, and Kiana, if you would like to add any, you are at our table, so they are added. We have sexual assault and sexual coercion, permanent injuries, violence against children, slavery, racism. Those are our lines, and our veils are intense gore and sex.
Okay. Nope, those cover mine.
Perfect.
Yep, I'm good.
So what is Walid doing?
I think Walid will continue on sort of with his just kind of intense, out of his mind, can't think straight panic at Dongfang being hurt. And it's just kind of like going around barking orders. Like immediately after that, you know, he barked orders to the soldiers to get them to the capital right away. And he's like trying to bark orders at the doctors and the various healers.
Yeah, because you had ridden here on a chariot.
Yeah.
You've ridden here on a chariot, and you're just shouting at the healers, and they're like, "Do they know who you are?"
No, I'm dressed like a bandit.
You just think about like a bandit is in the infirmary, and I should say the military infirmary.
Oh wow, yeah.
And you're just yelling at them.
I'm just giving them orders or whatever. It's like heal faster. Oh, that's not working.
Heal faster.
Do the thing.
Do the thing right now. Why isn't it happening?
Yeah, and at any moment that there isn't somebody right at Dongfang's bedside, he is like yelling at somebody to be right there, even though there's maybe nothing to do and like they've been bandaged up. But he's just
So you're like really like working yourself haggard here. This is like Walid will probably lose sleep over this.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. How about Lan Ning?
So I think Ning's going to take a very measured approach to this. Like obviously, Dongfang's injury is very, very critical. Like that's priority number one. But the people are on this. Like no one's like being lackadaisical about this. Like there's urgency here.
Especially in the voice of Walid.
Exactly. So a couple things. She makes sure that Ricky the bandit is bound because he needs to go to jail.
Yep.
Also he's a witness, so we gotta go question him. That's gonna be fun. We also Sexy Simu Lu. Or Ida,
still at the fortress.
You're right. I misremembered. So he's still at the fortress. He's fine.
You just wanted to bring Sexy Simu Lu with you.
He's always on my mind. And I think Ning's gonna take a moment while Walid's like doing all this stuff and just like that 10 seconds to just stop him for a moment, just like a hand on the shoulder and say, "Remember, you don't remember anything that was said."
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. And she kind of like backs away like and then goes about her business.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. But, and Walid was just that wasn't even that. He just didn't know what you were talking about in that moment.
Great.
He's still staring at Dongfang and just like, yeah. Dongfang is one of the few people to ever sort of show him any kindness or courtesy and by saving his life. So he is very, very attached.
And that's definitely something Lan Ning can like take advantage of. I mean, use and maximize the potential there. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Now, Lan Ning, you receive a summons just for you.
Great.
Just for you. A soldier, this time Sovereign Banner soldier, comes into the infirmary. And in an instant, the entire infirmary is quiet. Save for like the moans of the people who are wounded and Dongfang is who's making shrimp noises. The audience can imagine what shrimp noises are. but the making shrimp noises, everybody's silent. Maybe, I don't know, would Walid go silent too, seeing a Sovereign Banner soldier?
I think Walid just kind of ignores it. Like he doesn't go silent. He's just still paying attention and to like
Dongfang. Maybe just doesn't even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody goes silent, and the soldier, who's clad in very, very fine armor, form-fitting, has lots and lots of weapons, okay? Dressed very much like you, except their armor shows signs of wear. Like it's not new like yours. It's been used. It's seen brutal combat. It shows wear and tear, yet it still looks beautiful. And they walk up to you, and they hand you a little scroll. It's got the wax seal of the Empress on it.
Does Ning know who this person is?
We can say so. Yeah, I think so. Ning for sure knows that this is a low-ranking member of the Sovereign Banner. This is Shen.
And I assume from the way you kind of like described it, Shen kind of outranks her, even though like technically might not outrank her, but as far as like respect and clout goes.
As well as a respected clout. Sorry. Yes.
Okay. She gives like that half bow.
At least in seniority.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. So she of course is respectfully bows, takes the scroll, doesn't say anything.
Says Shen looks to you and nods and just like and leaves. And then as they step out of the threshold of the door, just under that lintel, you notice that everybody immediately starts talking again, and they get right back to work. Waleed hasn't changed.
Actually, when everybody starts talking again, Waleed kind of looks around a bit, and he's like, shh! They're resting.
They're I don't know if they're listening to you, at least at the initial shush.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
You've just been shouting, and they're just going about, milling about. Because they've lost a good couple minutes worth of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Productivity is a war on seconds.
Sorry. No, that's fine. I guess Ning will take the scroll and probably find like a curtained area that's like not being used. And then, you know, slowly open the scroll and read its contents.
Yeah, this is a very sophisticated hospital. I feel like we'll throw some lore in there. I will say that Since the Sha have contacts outside of their borders, they have made contact with their allies, who are, we would say, analogous to Southwest Asia, and hospitals and quarantine and advanced medicine were all developed in and around what we call the Middle East, and Sha has taken some of that knowledge, implemented into their cities. Yeah, and you're expected and you're summoned to the inner ring. Now, Chang'an is a very horizontal city. There are a few tall buildings. The tallest building is at the very center. The very center. And at the point of the believed to be of the mightiest convergence of the material and divine planes, of heaven and earth. And the city is made of concentric stone rings. And you're expected at the very center.
And I bet it doesn't say when. It's assumed that it means right away.
Yes, it's implied.
Yeah. So Ning kind of like takes that scroll, rolls it up, neatly packs it away.
But you notice something on the note. Oh. It says, come with an appetite.
Oh. Ning kind of like hastily like scrunches that up, puts it away.
Like embarrassed?
Kinda. And then takes a deep breath. You gotta be composed. Walks back out and finds Waleed.
Waleed is by the bed with Dongfang. Are you just gonna pull Waleed?
Yep. Hey, I have to go do something.
He's still just looking at Dongfang and sort of doesn't break. He doesn't look at you. And just goes, yeah, yeah, go.
Oh, yeah. I don't know when I'll be back, but keep an eye on them. And kind of like awkwardly walks away.
Yeah. I believe he turns out immediately and like snaps at a nurse who came in to check on something. Mm-hmm. To like, I don't know, like get fluffier pillows or something.
Get fluffier pillows. more poultices for the wounds. I'd like some more magic, please.
So I'm thinking here, Ning looks real rough. Like, she's been on the road. She hasn't had a chance to rest yet. She went directly to the infirmary.
Mm-hmm.
Has already seen combat.
Yeah.
So she's not dinner ready, but I guess a summons is a summons.
Yeah. You are dinner ready since you are hungry.
Yep.
You do have an appetite.
So the infirmary, was it like one of the like inner ring like buildings?
Yes.
Would you say?
This is a military infirmary.
Gotcha.
Reserved for, you know, high-ranking officials. The Empress herself might even go here if necessary.
Gotcha. So it wouldn't be a long trek to get to where I need to go.
Not at all.
Okay. So
this is a courtesy call.
Ning goes where she's needed.
Okay. So the inner ring of Chang'an is beautiful. It has these large open courtyards paved with extremely flat stone. Like, absent are like those cobblestone walkways of the outer rings. Everything here has a place. Everything here is perfectly set up. At the very center of Chang'an is Zhousha's palace. It's beautiful. It stands out. It's both a stone and wood structure painted with this brilliant red paint that's said to come from the blood of pigs. Okay. Gold fixtures attached, and almost like looking at it is almost blinding. Like, it makes you actually automatically bow your head when you walk to the Empress's palace. Some say that that was an intentional decision by Jin, the Grand Chancellor of Gold, who helped out by melting down some of the Xia currency so that the palace itself was made of money. The big show of power. So this is show your clout. Right. Now, there are in a very, very neat line, almost as if they're standing on each individual stone in this paved courtyard to go to the palace, are the sovereign banner. And standing at the front waiting to greet you is Shen.
So Ning, you know, takes those couple of breaths, really steadies herself. She walks up to Jen. Does he look like what's the read on his face?
Like impressed that you got here on time. Now, their name is Shen.
Shen, I'm sorry. Yes,
that's okay. They're impressed that they got here on time. That you got here on time. They look and they say, "Oh wow, that was so quick." And well, I guess they actually fix your hair. Put your hair up behind your ears and fix your hair.
She's like, stop.
You just need to look good. Tao is watching. Tao is one of the leaders of the Sovereign Banner, and Tao, you can see, kind of stands out amongst the line. Tao standing at the back, right underneath sort of the roof overhangs above the entrance, which is this big, like metal studded lacquered door. And Tao wears armor similar to yours, but in her helmet is this beautiful blue feather. Yeah, like a sapphire feather almost. Tao is somebody you report to.
She says, "Jen, I've seen combat. I've been off the road. I have not had a chance to rest. I just want to give my report and go home."
Yes, and we hear that that your mother is waiting for you.
Of course. Do you know what this is about?
Well, you know, we know that you only have one foot in the Sovereign Banner and one foot in the shadows.
She like kind of raises an eyebrow and says, "Yes, some people say that. So I assume that this is a very sensitive matter."
Well, we were not told. Tao might know, but I think the Empress herself would like to see you.
Let's not waste time then. Let's go.
And as you walk by the line of soldiers, their gazes don't even follow you. They're just staring. They are the most disciplined and well-trained soldiers in all of Xia. And as you walk closer and closer to the palace, you see how ominous it is, how This is a monumental work of architecture and how imposing it is. And as you look up, the light reflects off of the gold inlay on the buildings and the fixtures. And you have to avert your eyes and bow your head as you go nearby. And as you walk closer and closer, the smell of food. Beautiful suckling pig. Duck. Food that you wouldn't find on the road. Gets stronger and stronger as you walk towards the doors. And as you walk up the stairs to the palace, you see Tao looking at you, looks you up and down, and then pats you on the shoulder. Says, "Well done." She is waiting. And the door opens. These big doors open. Two attendants each open the doors, and as you walk in, you see waiting for you are the four dukes. Wei, Yun, your father, Chang, and Jin. Behind them in this court is a long table with more food than one person or two people or even six people could even consume. And seated at the very end of the table is Empress Zhou herself, flanked by Min, the grand tutor of Xia. The door is closed behind you.
Oh, man. Steve, the player, is like getting anxious here. Steve right now is like, oh, man. Okay.
See, cool. I love how Steve, the player, is because I get to see Steve, the player, do this and then see Kiana, the player, just like, hold yourself back.
Kiana, you seem to be loving this. It's fantastic.
I asked for this.
This is what you asked for. I promised you this in August. I'm delivering.
So I assume there's like a seat that's waiting for Ning?
Oh yeah. One of the servants pulls it out. It's a big, high-topped chair. Very high.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
So she, you know, she gracefully makes eye contact with everyone, kind of gives a very slight bow. She moves to her chair, bows deeply to everyone, bows a second time to the Empress. And at that moment in time, she can't help it. She's been on the road for many, many days on half rations. And like her stomach just like rumbles like in an embarrassing way. She like holds the bottom of the bow for a little bit and then just sits and doesn't look at anyone.
The Empress, from her chair, just cracks the smallest of smiles as she looks you up and down, taking in all of the wear and tear and tiredness, and just inclines her head slightly to say, "Seems like you're on time."
Of course. Punctuality is a virtue.
Of course. You seem to be hungry.
We have been on the road for some time on half rations, pushing the soldiers and myself quite hard. But of course, we do so willingly.
Of course. Please, and she'll kind of indicate with her hand to a servant to set out the first kind of dish for Ning. It's just like the slightest wave of a hand.
It's like nothing.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to get tidied up?
Nope.
Okay.
So this sort of Wei, who had been regarding you with a sort of one eyebrow a little bit raised, jumps in. Here and sort of calls a servant over, whispers into their ear to bring you sort of a like a bowl to wash your hands in, and maybe kind of a rag to kind of clean your face with a little bit.
What does Wei look like?
I think Wei is a short and portly man. He sort of looks quite avuncular and doesn't have a very imposing physical appearance. He's sort of maybe even a little, I don't know, bit like a little baby faced, But everybody in the court and everybody who comes near him knows to look past that appearance and recognize him for the sort of power player and a very dangerous player that he is.
Nice.
Did he like do this gesture as kind of like a middle finger, or was it like a truly like?
I think at the moment he's amused.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So I guess Ning gets like sponged bath at the table. Great, cool. Mm-hmm. Everyone's happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think while this is happening, the Empress starts to adjust in her seat, and with how quiet the hall is, you can hear the small tinkles of like the gold adornments that hang off of her headdress, and like even just the shift of the silk and brocade that she wears, red and gold and resplendent with imagery of dragons and clouds and all sorts of flowers and the such. You shouldn't look so graceful wearing so many things, and she does somehow.
That's amazing.
Oh. Somehow it's because it's Josha.
Yeah,
she is supreme.
And in somewhat contrast, anything, even the Wei's clothes are very fine and they're tailored to him, everything just looks like it doesn't fit on him.
It's like the sleeves are a little too long.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, kind of an odd-shaped man.
Yeah, and she makes sure that all the dukes are well-seated as well.
Oh.
Just to make it a little more uncomfortable for everybody, clearly.
So it's like so it's you on one end of the table, Lan Ning on the other end,
yep.
And on this inconceivably long table, are the four dukes seated closer to you or closer to Lan Ning?
They're seated closer to Lan Ning.
Oh. And your father is one of the dukes.
Yeah. Hey, what's dad's expression? How's he doing?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, is he sort of careful not to show any favoritism? Or
very careful.
Okay.
Very careful. You don't keep a position like this if you show favoritism. Mm-hmm. Like a big beard, but very well, like yours, like beautiful.
Amar. He pointed to me, Amar.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful, Amar. We should post that. Everybody should see your beard. And he sits there. He never takes off his armor. And he's wearing heavy, heavy armor. He comes down and I think he's the only one in Sha who's allowed to rest his sword against the table. And it's a big, big Dao. This one's the horse beheading Dao.
Yeah.
Ooh. And he sits down and kind of looks, just looking right at you like this.
Oh, man. Okay.
Like unflinching, unblinking. And then the food arrives.
Great.
And the food is one of my favorite Chinese banquet appetizers. Seasoned jellyfish tentacles.
Yeah, yeah.
Comes to you.
And, she, like, wants to, like, dig in. She wants to dig in.
Nobody is eating yet. They're all waiting to see who eats first.
I think you see, as is customary, the Empress pick up her silver chopsticks and just pick up one of the pieces of food, examines it as if to see if it's up to her standards. And also examining the chopsticks to see if they change any color for any poisoning. And satisfied with that, she'll pass on the chopsticks to the servant to her side.
With a little silk cloth to carry them.
Yeah. And we'll gesture for the others to proceed eating. That she had deemed it safe for her, at least.
And everyone else begins eating very carefully. Your father... looking at you as he eats.
Ning is like almost shaking with her chopsticks, like, be slow, like, control this, because you can't look like an idiot in front of dad.
Can't look like an idiot in front of dad. Now, I'm gonna put the spotlight on Waleed now.
Mm.
Now, back at the hospital, Waleed is still by Dongfeng's side. Right?
Yes.
And one of the things that, it's probably been a while since Waleed has eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Waleed was just in a great battle. You actually like impaled that Mogwai, that creature.
Yeah.
And
he was like blooded stuff on me.
Oh, yeah, there's blood all over you.
Yeah.
And one of the healers, one of the sages, actually comes up to you and rests his hand on your shoulder and asks you, are you wounded? Because nobody has asked you that. Because you've come in with Dongfeng all wounded, puts his hand on your shoulder and says, are you wounded?
Waleed kind of like it snaps out of it for a moment, looks down, and he's like trying to figure out if he's wounded, and he goes, No, I think this is all the creature's blood. None of it is mine.
And the creature's insists, and you have some of Dongfang's blood on you too.
Mm-hmm.
And they look to you and they say, "Good, good. We just want to make sure that you're not hurt yourself." And he says, "Can I offer you some food?"
And in that moment, Waleed is just ravenously hungry. He just becomes aware of just how tired he is and just how hungry he is. Keeping a vigil at the bedside of Dongfang has taken a toll, but he just kind of didn't notice it until somebody pointed it out.
He says, I know it's not much, but I brought you something. And he actually pulls out a small box.
Oh, not hospital food.
Not hospital food. Says, you know, we don't see many people from your land here. And, well, if you are here with them, well, you must be very important to the queen.
Waleed kind of chuckles a little bit. Yes, that's right. The queen herself has sent me on a mission. Or the empress herself has sent me on a mission.
He kind of looks to you and he says, wow. He says, well, your comrade is in good hands. We have never seen one like them before, but their wounds are healing faster than we would expect.
Hmm.
He says, please, eat. He hands you the box. He says, this was my lunch, but I will get more later.
Aww. Thank you.
And you open up the box and it contains rojamo. It is a flatbread
mm-hmm.
with minced lamb inside with a gravy poured over the lamb.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
And he hands it to you. There's two of them. It's looks kind of like this.
Oh my, I'm into that.
And he
where hands can I get it, that in Toronto?
I'll take you out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he hands it to you and he says, I hope this will satisfy your needs.
Yeah, so Waleed just kind of reaches his hand in and touches the first one, and sort of as he sort of adjusts his grip to get it, notices that he's leaving marks on it, like Mogwai blood and
his blood all over.
He kind of looks around and like wipes his hands off
on his like tunic.
Yeah, but they're making it even worse.
And then he kind of looks and he says, hold up. He motions to one of the other sage apprentices who brings you a bowl of water.
Yeah, so yeah, he washes it off. Waleed washes his hands in the wash basin at the bowl and then digs into the
field. Rojamo.
Rojamo.
Yeah, we'll go out and eat some.
Sure. How is it?
It's fantastic.
Oh my.
It's fantastic. The bread is crispy, yet the meal on the inside has gravy running through it.
Ooh, yeah.
The lamb.
Yeah, sort of like it kind of explodes with flavor in his mouth.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And this is the food of the common people.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, this is not a delicacy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, back at the banquet, a similar bowl, except this one is very, very fancy.
Yeah, all of the dishware is ridiculous.
I feel like at the end of each chopstick is a jewel.
Yeah, like that. And like a lot of gold and precious metals and fine pottery and the such.
Oh, my pottery. Pottery from Jingda.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. So yeah, so the pottery here must be like the art on it must be like moving and things like mm-hmm. that.
So maybe instead of court dancers, because you fear assassins, you have tall human-sized pots from Jingda featuring dancers on them.
Yes,
cool. So they are constantly dancing in the background around this
mm-hmm.
table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wei, in contrast to everybody else's like measured courtly manners, is just digging in with an appetite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Wei is, in many ways, second in command
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to the Empress. You oversee law.
Yes.
Probably the most, arguably, I think Wei argue that he is the most powerful of the four dukes?
He would never say it out loud.
Yes.
That would be in politique.
Yeah, this is out of game.
Oh, out of game, yeah, definitely. Like, yeah. Yeah, no, like, the power started to go to his head.
Okay.
Yeah.
System. Future plot threads here that are emerging, these red threads
mm-hmm.
that are emerging. So How's Ning doing?
She is so uncomfortable. Like it is obvious to everyone that she's like tense. There's something wrong with her back. She pushed herself way too hard. There's like a tweak there, but she's trying to sit up straight. She's like real struggling to like eat really slowly, despite the fact that she is ravenous. And she's, despite the fact that, you know, oh my God. And then her dad's like looking at her and just like looking through her soul. She's having a bad time.
Yeah. And her father's just eating bite by bite. Then he takes a final bite, puts his chopsticks down, and he says, "So, Commander, how was your first sortie into the wall, out the land outside the walls?"
"Eventful. I have a full report prepared. I'm happy to speak to any details if you have specific questions."
He says, "My lord," looks to Josha, "I have sent some of my soldiers to Josha's spear to reinforce them. I heard there was an attack there. Commander Ning, did you encounter anything along the way?"
As you know, Jing is taking care of the fortress right now. There was an attack, yes. We came the morning after the attack. It was a very, very, very large beast, one that I've not seen before. The soldiers had slain it, but with heavy, heavy casualties. I spent quite a bit of labor helping with funeral rites and making sure that there was stability in the fort. I left a sizable force at the fortress to make sure that was fully manned.
Min is whispering into Josha's ear, "Empress, you should not have sent such an inexperienced soldier to Jingde."
And she'll tilt her head slightly to acknowledge that something was being said to her, but she does not respond.
Wei pipes in and sort of speaks with a little bit of food in his mouth, and he says, "Why, I understand you also put a large number of civilians under arrest. What are the charges?"
Yes. They are under arrest. Right now the charge is all investigative. They are more quarantined than anything. They are all people of interest, and we'll need to investigate further.
Well, that's okay. And he turns to he sort of looks at the Empress and said, "They'll be okay staying where they are for now." And I guess through our years of working together, you would know what that means is, like, I've already got a list of bogus charges.
Together or working under the Empress?
Oh, he thinks it's together.
The Empress has different ideas.
Of course. But yeah, so from he's like already set up like a bogus like list of charges that allows them to be held like indefinitely.
And how many people know about this?
Well, I suppose everyone from Jingde is aware of it, of course, and the soldiers that are left at the fortress know about this, and my entire squad.
She'll look over to Young.
Yeah, Yen.
Yeah, Yen. I will acquire the names of all of those. Yes.
Yes. We will send you all of the names.
Good. And you're sure they've had no other contact with anyone else?
Not to my knowledge. Minister of War, the names are listed in my report. I figured it would be pertinent. And she, like, looks to the Minister of War.
The Minister of War. He looks and he says, "Adequate, that will do. I expect that by night."
"Of course." And she, like, nervously, like, eats some more food.
Now, by then, the next dishes are coming. We have more vegetables and beautiful, vibrant mushrooms with gravy on top. There are like massive fish all coming out. The table has so much food, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like overwhelming your senses. Like your stomach is just going.
Can I request something special? Which is, I'm not entirely sure what it would be, but basically on one of my ambassadorship trips out, I got the taste for a particular kind of dish from a neighboring land that I always get specially made for me.
Kind Ooh, of Wei is just like flexing.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, what is this dish?
I think it would be something that would be like kind of weird for the people in Xia, I think. So I don't know what you think would be like odd.
They think it was something super, super spicy.
It could be something super spicy. I mean, I don't know, like boar tongue or something like that. Like,
sure, yeah. It's something. A special dish and it comes to you on a plate. And the servants don't put it right in front of you, but they make sure that everybody knows it's for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I sort of point to it and say, well, this is from the land of, I was thinking that might be from the Confederacy of the Blade.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever had an ambassadorship out there.
I'm sure you did before things went to shit.
Yeah, yeah. This is considered a delicacy amongst the Confederacy of the Blade. On my last trip out there, quite some years ago, I developed a taste for it, and I've asked them to make it for me here. Would you like to try something?
Yun pipes in. And how are you still getting this shipped into Xia? Our borders to the north are closed.
Well, boars observe no borders.
He laughs like a,
yeah, not like that. Yeah, like he laughs kind of at his own cleverness. Yeah.
There's certainly from the Empress another shift in her seating. She did not show her displeasure, mm-hmm. but by the way that she put down her chopsticks just a little too loudly, her displeasure is known.
So Wei just like takes the food.
Yeah. It wasn't a very, it's a boar tongue. I can't imagine it's very, I don't know what a boar
sliced, tongue. Like, it's yeah. nice thin oh, sliced.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So it's like paper thin. That'd be cool.
Yeah, right? And then, yeah, laid out
it's
like
the most elegant Wei to eat like a very, very dangerous creature.
Yes.
I think that's what Wei's all about.
Oh, yeah.
That's the ultimate sign of power, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And so he sort of, and it wasn't very large. And so like sharing it wasn't really an option.
Yeah.
But he wanted to flex. And so anyway, he takes the plate and he just kind of eats it.
So what is the Empress doing? She's kind of like very, very subtly showing her displeasure.
Yeah. She is not happy with the mentioning of the Confederacy of Blades in her court right now. But she actually just waves that same little flick of the hand as if to indicate the next dish.
The servants come in and they serve the next dish, but one of the things that they do is they actually take the boar tongue away to make room for the next dish. Okay, now there's been a lot of food here, and this next dish is like a very, very simple rice dish. It kind of reminds you of the food that you eat with the soldiers, but elevated to a very elegant level. But this food is not meant to be eaten. This food is just for show. You've eaten so much already, so much good food, that if you touch this food, it's a sign of disrespect.
Yeah, Ning is like looking at it with like eyes of like wanting. She's like, she knows the rules, and she just sits there tense, as if like, you know, keeping herself like in a tight little ball will prevent her from like making a move that she's going to regret.
Now, your father Yun looks to Zhou Xia. He says, "Empress, I will take my leave now. I will go over the charts and I will make sure that our northern borders are secure." He gets up and he takes his sword. He bows to you, and he pulls Wei up by his ill-fitting silk robes.
Mm-hmm.
Says, "We have many things to discuss, Commandant."
"Yes, we do." And he takes a cup of what have we been drinking? Water, juice, wine?
Rice wine.
Rice wine?
Yeah.
He takes his cup of rice wine with him to continue this conversation somewhere else.
And with that, the Minister of Labor and Art kind of looks to you and he says, "Well, I think my time here is over," and kind of bows to you. And Jin, the Grand Chancellor of Gold, she gets up and says, looks to you and bows and kind of gives you a subtle nod. And she has a tradition. She always leaves a gold coin at the table after every meal as a sign of respect, like a bar, and just walks away. You notice that they all have these beautiful silken shoes, but Chang, the minister, Jin, the Chancellor of Gold, has like little gold bells on their shoes. I don't know if Zhou Xia finds that appropriate.
She finds it amusing. It's like a
baby.
It's like a little cat.
Yeah. And ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
And leaving Ning, Zhou Xia, and of course Min, the Grand Tutor, at the table.
And Zhou Xia will wave her hand again to clear out this dish. And the next dish that comes in is simpler. It's still obviously of the best ingredients, the such, but it's obviously meant to be less overwhelming. And she waits for it to be set down and looks to Ning. "So, how are you doing?"
I'm doing well, Your Highness, my queen.
"You know that you don't have to hide your words, yes?"
I don't think I understand what you mean.
"You've been emanating tension since you've arrived in this room."
I apologize. That's my own weakness. I'm a little tired, a little worse for wear. The road has not been favorable. Yeah. And she kind of like trails off and she's like, her mind kind of goes somewhere else for a little bit.
"Eat, I'm sure that you're still hungry, are you not?"
She like kind of like looks and she like sees that you're like genuinely like offering her to eat, and it's almost like she's afraid to like reach out for more food, but kind of goes for it. Like at any moment in time, like so things could go real bad and she'd have to like pull back, but she slowly reaches out and grabs some more. I'm gonna go with grilled street meat. I feel like that's kind of like the flavor you're going for here.
Yeah, it's clearly meant to
be casual.
Yeah, be casual.
Is it on bamboo skewers or is it on like gold skewers?
I think it still has like the opulent touches to it, but the sentiment is there.
Yeah, yeah. So she definitely like goes and grabs like three and then and then pulls it back to her side and slowly starts eating and goes, thank you. And she's like mumbling it. She, like, clearly she doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah. And I think like midway through Ning eating, she looks over to her tutor and says, "I have a quiet private moment."
"Oh, the Empress with someone like this? This is not safe."
"I know what I am doing. Do you question that?"
"No, no, of course, Empress. I will take my leave." And he walks backwards.
Yep.
While bowing out of the door and closes it slowly with a... For sure, he's leaning on the outside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, he is.
Yep.
And by the way, on the way out, Wei had tapped one of the servants and said, "Bring me the rest of that boar tongue," which was also a sign for everything that was said in that room to be transmitted back to me after the fact.
Yeah.
Oh, Wei. you rascal.
Yeah.
Rascal.
Wei the rascal.
Second in command of the Empress.
Yep.
That's what he thinks.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah, and I think the Empress lets him think that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, she 100% lets him think that.
It makes it predictable.
It makes him very, very predictable. Okay, so let's continue.
Yeah, and as soon as the door closes, the Empress will actually now very fully like shift where she was standing up, was sitting up very, very straight. She now doesn't slouch. Empresses don't slouch.
Right. Not in these chairs.
Not in these chairs. But I think she certainly kind of leans over to prop up her head in her hand as she regards Ning. And just watches.
Oh, she just watches her eat?
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. So tension in this room is fully solid. Great. I think after she finishes her second out of three skewers, she kind of like slowly looks up and kind of realizes that she's kind of being very like self-centered here. And she says, Empress, did you have any questions for me? Did you want to hear the report firsthand, or what can I do for you?
Well, of course, I would like to know what happened. And I would like to hear it from your words. And unfiltered.
I understand. Some of the reports that I have are very, very sensitive. I'd be happy, of course, to share it. But should you think that we need more counsel, I would like to give the opportunity to call someone in or whatever you think is best.
No, I believe that we just require the two of us for now.
I understand. Of course, of course. So so as you know, I was sent to Jingde to investigate an anomaly.
Yes.
This anomaly, By every measure I could see, by every test I could run, seemed to be a jade stone. Large, very large, size of a person. It crashed from the sky, from what I could tell, and it killed a civilian. And she turned to jade, and the jade spread through the ground, and we couldn't contain it.
I think that you see what was almost an amused expression on the Empress's face immediately shift into something much more displeased as she hears this.
We quarantined everyone. I gathered them all up. I explained to them very clearly what they saw. They all understand that what they saw was an anomaly and that no one is to touch the jade under severe pain. But then Dong Fang, and she's like looking around. She like, no one else is here, right? No one else is here. Just the ceramic pots that are just dancing away forever.
I mean, I'd imagine there'd be attendants and servants.
Oh, no, she dismissed them.
She dismissed everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very echoey, this hall.
The walls of ears.
Yeah. So the echoiness of it, like, just makes it so much worse for her. Dong Fang, they were not affected by it. The jade would touch grass and the ground and turn to jade. Dong Fang was able to I didn't see it myself, but was able to cross the jade itself and touch the stone, and they lived through it.
Interesting. And at this point she stands up.
Yeah, Ning stands up too. Like, oh, yeah, we're standing now.
Like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to speak about this in a more private space.
Of course, of course. Yes, of course. She like reaches down to go for the last skewer, but then like stops herself and like, no, okay. Well, let's...
So Ning hasn't told the Empress about what Dongfeng said when they were touching the thing.
Okay, no,
just checking. The thing that indicates that maybe the Empress has lost the mandate of heaven. So I'm just catching the listener up who might not remember that.
Yeah.
And the Empress will start to walk. And I think that she is heading towards her private, let's say like a private tea room.
But it's really, is it like another building?
Yes, it's absolutely another building.
Yeah, Ning follows. Her footwear is not nice silk shoes. She wears gross combat boots.
So have you left mud at your seat?
She's been tracking mud everywhere.
Yep.
And you're actually going to be walking through like a sheltered path between buildings. Walk outside and it's nightfall now. It's nighttime and the stars are out. It's very beautiful and you can actually see the torches carried by the guards around all of the different walls of Chang'an. And I definitely think Josha has a private lake.
Oh yeah, she absolutely does.
Private lake, and perhaps her tea house is on a small island at the center of that lake.
Yes.
Somewhere along the way, I don't know if this makes sense, but a servant comes up to you and offers you a silk robe to wear over your clothes that are still quite ragged and stuff.
Yes.
And the servant says, Du Gui thought that you might like this.
I love that the servant said it like it was like an offering, like she had a choice in this.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so...
She's quoting the Duke, right?
Yeah, of course. So Ning, of course, like nods... respectfully and like allows the servant to put the robe on her.
Mm-hmm. It's like you see like bits of your like scabbards and pouches.
Yeah, she's still fully armed. Like you can see like,
protruding out.
She looks real dumb now.
She wouldn't be armed anymore, right? Like going to meet the queen or the empress.
Well, she's technically supposed to protect the empress.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's armed.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so it looks ridiculous. And that was kind of Wei's plan.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But also not the track mud everywhere.
Oh, and then there are other silken covers for the boots as well.
Yes.
Oh, great. Little booties.
Little booties.
Yeah, totally.
Humiliating. Yeah. Ooh, does that mean Wei and Yun are definitely rivals then?
Yeah.
Because Ning is Yun's daughter.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of levels there. I would dare say that probably... in the whole world, Wei would probably say Yun is his friend, but a man in his position does not have friends. He has people he sometimes works with and sometimes he works against.
Yeah, they would be friends outside the walls of Chang'an. But good thing is privilege keeps him inside the walls.
Uh-huh, yeah. I think that more privately, I think that Wei maybe believes that this shouldn't have been a military mission. That this should have been, or even a sound system, like it should have been handled like more discreetly than it was. But anyway, that's between him and Yun to sort out.
So Josha and Ning board the private raft boat for a very short ride over to her private island.
Yep.
She's so extra and I love it.
Does Ning have to row?
Hmm?
Does Ning have to row?
No, they have servants for that.
Yeah, they have servants for that.
Come on. They got servants for that.
And also, as a, in case it was unclear, the servant who came to give you the robe is also reporting back to Wei what was being said.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that like minute between, you know, when you were traveling, you weren't in the earshot of anybody, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Josha will remember this.
Josha will remember this, and there's a reason why she has a private
tea house
in the middle of a lake.
Oh, I love this so much.
Yeah, and I think as they arrive there, there's already, like, you can tell from the steam coming off of it, there's already tea here set out, and, like, a bowl of probably fruit of some form.
Yeah, and you see the other servant boat leaving.
Yeah. And Josha will with great practice, step off the raft and onto the island and go towards the table.
It hurts how elegant she is.
I just want to call this episode Smooching Island.
Welcome to Smooch Island. Ning is, despite being clumsy and a klutz and snort laughing and all that kind of stuff, also gets off the raft pretty gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't think anything of it. She gets off, walks towards the tea house. There's probably like a little area for her to sit.
Mm-hmm.
She waits for the Empress to sit.
Yep. And I think it's one of the low tables with like the cushions for seating. So she's with all her many layers of skirt. It's a process to sit, at least kneeling like this. And so there's kind of like this almost sweeping motion that she has to do in order to do so. And I think there's like a bit of it that catches on like the corner of the table, doesn't quite make it under her right before she sits.
Ning like sees that.
Yeah.
And says, she like motions to it with a hand and says, may I please?
Of course.
Then she reaches down and slowly pulls the cloth away from it, the table, and kind of, she knows this procedure of like tucking dresses and what have you, and tucks it kind of where it would have to be.
And Josha will, again, that smallest crack of a smile before she finally kneels down and sits.
Ning, of course, sits down. She's wearing this awkward robe, but the best that she can, she, you know, gathers it up, sits down.
Yeah. And the Empress did not serve tea. That is not something she does.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
So as Ning finishes pouring the tea for the Empress first, then to herself, she says, no one can hear us here, right?
No, you may speak freely here.
It was terrifying. I've never heard anything like that. I don't know how to say this. They reached out, touched the jade, and words came out. I don't understand how or why, but they said something. They didn't say something. Something else said something through them.
Something else.
It was voices. It sounded like a chorus, like many, many, many voices that I couldn't pick out.
And what did they say?
The DM will intervene and say.
You don't think I memorized this?
Oh, did you memorize it? I thought you didn't. Go for it. Go. Sorry.
So she says, oh, fuck, now the pressure's on. She says.
Session 2 notes if you need it.
Beware the 4 perils. I'm already screwing this up, aren't I?
It's okay. You got this. Session 2 notes. Thank you, OneNote.
she says, no, the sky drop. They said sky drop. The sky drop will cleanse all that is mundane. The 4 perils shall return. And humanity will call upon the 4 nobles to maintain the balance of both heaven and earth. It was something like that. It was hard to hear it. This, if I may, this is bad, right?
That's certainly one way of putting it, is it not?
Hey, I know you didn't want to hear that, but I want you to know that I swore an oath. I'm here to protect you. That's my duty. So whatever this means, If there's anything I can do, tell me, and I can make something happen. That's what I'm here for, right?
That is what you swore. If everything you said is true, this can mean much, not just for myself, but for the entire kingdom itself. Call my land mundane, won't you? She says, almost up towards the skies.
Oh, snap.
And this is knowledge that you possess only?
I can't know for sure. I know the man that we hired, the foreigner, he heard it. Dongfang, of course, knows. Any number of soldiers or civilians might have heard it as well, though I made it very clear to them that they heard nothing under severe pain. But that's only going to last so long.
You said you have all the names, right?
Yes, Empress.
Good. Make sure to pass those on to your father, won't you?
There are kids in that village too. Parents with babies and no, of course. I'll let my father know. And sorry, I'm very tired. I'm very tired. I'm sorry.
I think at this point, the Empress will reach a hand and just brush it against Ning's hand on the table.
I think she kind of like reacts like there's a spark. Like she almost like pulls her hand away, but then kind of doesn't, and just kind of looks at the Empress, and opens her mouth as if she's going to say something, and then just doesn't.
I do not have many allies here. And even if you were friends, I ask of this of you because I know that I can trust you. I need you to deal with this.
Of course, of course. I can do that for you. What did you have in mind?
You're a quick learner. I'm sure you will learn more about this jade. Figure out a way to deal with it. Your father and I will deal with the people who have witnessed it. So those are not no longer your concern.
I understand. I will take care of this. But if it so pleases you, if you know anything else about what a skydrop is, or what the perils or the nobles are, that might help me in my investigations.
DM, do I know anything?
Yes, you do.
Good.
You know of a scholar at the Imperial Library of Xia who can help you. Her name is Pan Yan, the historian.
You will be able to find what you're looking for, or at least the starts of it, at the library. A scholar of mine. She will know.
Yes, okay. Great, great. I mean, of course. I'll talk to them First thing in the morning. And I'll make sure this goes away. This shouldn't have to bother you. You shouldn't have to worry about this.
Of course. I have to help you. I might have prepared a gift.
A gift?
Sorry, I just freaked out a bit.
Yes. For my favorite.
DM paused. Thing to be cut out. It's got to be two swords.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she'll wait to see what Ning's reaction to being called her favorite is.
Her eyes.
Speaking to the mic. Yeah, we'll pause and we'll fix this.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to carry it.
I'm gonna carry it. I can hold it right here.
There you go.
Here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So her eyeballs fall out of her sockets.
Literally.
100%. It's like Beetlejuice. She kind of like almost pulls her hand away, but instead just kind of like balls it into a fist and then releases it, and then lets the Empress finish. And then she says, "You didn't have to give me a gift."
And the Empress will give Nay an actual smile. I think so. You're so cute when you're modest like this.
Sorry.
And at that point, having her eyes fall out of her sockets, her face explodes in blush. She's a mess.
Yeah. And the Empress will let go of Ning's hand to reach to a box that was by her side that had been set there earlier. And she opens the many latches on it and reaches in and pulls out what looks like two glass vials with a blue liquid inside. It's not water. But it has that crystal clear look to it, and as she puts them on the table, slides them over, they act like water.
Confused, Ning says, "I will treasure these forever." but if I might ask, what are these?
Why don't you open one of those and face it away from the table?
That's normal. That's a normal thing to say. Ning slowly stands up, takes one of the vials, and does as she's told. She slowly opens one of the vials. Yeah.
Yeah, and you notice that the vials themselves add a little bit more detail. The vials are actually wrapped with a little bit of leather. And the glass itself is not. It looks as though it was made to be held in your hand. As you uncork it, the fluid spills out. But it doesn't spill upon the table. It actually spills out and forms a thin blade of glass.
Oh, that is so cool.
Dope. Ning's eyes go wide. And you can see she like takes the blade and like, understanding what it is, kind of balances back and forth. Kind of like measures it, and then opens the second vial.
Same thing.
And at this moment in time, she's stunned by like the beauty of these glass blades. And at that moment in time, she almost ignores the Empress that she's there. And you can see her just admiring these pieces of this weaponry. She's balancing them, and in her mind, she can see herself kind of using these, flashing the steel, or I guess the glass. And knowing kind of what she's holding is something very, very, very special.
Yeah.
She looks back to the Empress and she bows so deeply. Her hair like touches like the ground. And when she holds it for way too long and then stands back up and says, I don't know what to say.
A simple thank you, perhaps.
Empress, thank you. Thank you so much. I will use these forever in your service. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad they please you so.
And she... How does she sheath these swords?
You just cork them back up.
Yes, you just... This is living water. You know how we talked about how Xia magic can create sentience?
Yeah.
Well, this is living water that you, a water Ganassi, can communicate with.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Mm.
Like, does she feel anything from the blades?
Yeah, you will have to attune to them.
Okay.
Training montage episode.
No, that's amazing. She obviously corks both, puts them away, and says,
"Hi."
I guess I'm your favorite.
Guess.
In order, or
you can hear like the servants from the like the shoreline being like, "Kiss her." They're not actually doing that. That would be incredibly rude of them. They would all be executed.
They would all be executed immediately. Yeah, and I think the Empress will stand back up. And we'll take a few steps closer to Ning.
What does Ning do?
Ning is frozen in place, fully paralyzed. But she doesn't like back away.
Okay. And I think the Empress will just lift up a finger and trail it down Ning's cheek. And I think she does stand a little taller than Ning. And just kind of, after she finished trailing down, she kind of land right under the chin and just kind of took her head up a little bit. And just say again, my favorite.
As soon as you start reaching up to Ning, her eyes close and they don't open again. And after you say, my favorite, she finally takes a breath. And her eyes open. And she says, there was a demon. Sorry, no.
My pants.
Sorry. No, I can't believe I forgot. There's the thing that attacked Joshua's spear. It was a dog. It was big, though. It was a monster covered in bones, and it looked horrible. It must have been 1,000 pounds, and it killed so many soldiers. According to judging, the blood of the creature killed soldiers in the night. It infected them, and they died horribly. We saw their bodies. They died in agony, frozen in place. You should know as well.
I think the Empress laughs a little bit.
I think it's got to end there. On this island, we just found out that Ning is super awkward.
Amazing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nice, adorable.
Nice contrast with how Ning normally is. Their confident, commanding self outside the walls of Chang'an. But in the presence of the Empress, something very, very different.
Yep.
Wow. That was amazing. Thank you to Kiana for joining us for this episode of Dungeons and Asians. Where can the listener find you on the internet, Kiana?
Well, they can find me over on Twitter at Kiana S. Best way to figure out what I'm doing. I do a lot of writing and streaming and other tabletop stuff. Like I said, I'll be at PAX U. So if you're there, come and say hi. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thank you, Daniel, for letting me be morally questionable and hot.
Well, I mean, we're going to do it. We have to do this again.
We have to do this again, obviously.
We have to do this again. I mean, if you, we might have to have you the next one.
We got to space this out. I will explode.
we got your wish.
Yeah.
We got your wish. Speaking of which, I need wishes. We got to do, you know, stars and wishes for this episode. Kiana, you're our guest. We would love to get a wish from you.
Ooh.
Except this wish is for something plot-wise. Or for when you come back, but...
Okay.
So we'll start with stars. We always start with stars.
Oh boy, stars. I enjoyed making things very uncomfortable. It was very amusing. We all made sure we were okay with it, but...
And you did do a lot of talking about this beforehand as well.
Yes.
Yeah, we were sending a lot of messages back and forth to, like, kind of lay out our own kind of, like, lines and veils.
Yeah.
Which was, like, really awesome to do way before the game.
Yeah, because, you know, having a sort of romantic thing happening between an empress and a soldier, there's a lot of power dynamics there. Mm-hmm. That... Josha, very much.
There are levels to the power dynamics that we have here. There are levels to this.
Yeah, but Josha definitely takes advantage of.
Yep,
definitely.
So it was good to kind of set that out and be okay with all that, because it makes for really good drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all my stars were just pushing the discomfort level.
Yeah.
Of Ning really high.
So how about you, Steve?
I have so many stars. Daniel, all of the descriptions of, like, the palace and, like, everything about it, like, I have some, like, very weird foggy memories of, like, visiting other temples and things like that, and you just, like, brought me back and then, like, multiplied by, like, 100 times. Like, I could feel it. I could smell it. Like, that theater of mind was good stuff.
I have to write all of this down.
Yeah, the description of the light shining off of it so that you have to bow your head.
That's
such a good touch.
At some point, I just closed my eyes and, like, tried to imagine it. It was really great.
Yeah.
How about you, Omar, for your stars?
Oh, boy. I want to give a star to both the dynamic between the two of you. It's so amazing. I love adorkable Ning, of course, but the Empress is just so heartbreakingly elegant. Amazing.
I'd watch that anime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just poor Ning.
My star goes to all of you, but I also want to give a star to Omar, because you played two characters. You played Waleed,
mm-hmm.
and you played, you know, the commander of justice, basically. And I think you played it really well. You did a really, like, you're basically, you're like the third wheel on this awkward first day. And you played it so well, because you were one of the things that I really like about your playstyle is you read the table really well. And you could see when you were trying to help advance the narrative between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you did a really good job of using your spotlight to help give our special guest a little bit of extra push. Because, I mean, Kiana hasn't been playing this game with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you helped Kiana kind of flesh out what her character was doing by creating a character that very much is contrasting hers.
Mm-hmm.
And huge star to you, dude.
Aw, thanks, man.
And, like, you did it through play, which is, like, amazing, right? Like, that's impressive.
Yeah. Like, this was just another episode of, like, how to play D&D, how to handle spotlight, but also how to do romantic tension in D&D. Mm. We weren't rolling dice.
No dice.
No dice whatsoever.
We're playing Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
No, we're just like, this is a fanfic. This is a fanfic right now. Now, let's go to wishes. I'm going to start with Amar, and we'll go around.
Oh my, I just really want this tension between the two of you to be consummated in some fashion. I want that kiss so badly.
I couldn't give it to you right there.
Oh, no, you can't.
I get it. Yeah, but still, it was a demon.
I love that, by the way.
That killed me.
I love that. It's like, I was like, are they going to kiss? And you're like, there was a demon. There was a dog. It was 1,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We also didn't establish how old Josha is and how old Ning is.
Yeah, that's also not great.
Yeah. There's an age gap between them.
There's an age gap, but it's an appropriate age gap.
Yeah, like, in my head, Josha was, like, early 30s.
But looks like she's in her 20s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Ning is in her early 20s as well. So.
Yeah, so cool. It's kind of uncomfortable.
I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again.
Hashtag Asian vibes.
again, Josha is taking advantage fully, uh-huh. and she knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Tea Island. Where you spilled the tea.
Oh my god.
That's canon now. Okay. Sorry, Sir Amar, what was your wish?
Smooches.
Yeah.
Smooches. Yes. Other things.
But as you said, it's you can't be consummated, but oh my, there was, I guess, more tension then. More attention.
Okay, how about you, Kiana?
I love that little detail. Sorry, I love that little design of this in Stars anymore, but I love that little detail. You're like, the Empress is just a little taller, so she has to like lift her chin up.
Yeah, I loved that. That was great.
Yeah, yeah. Power dynamics. Their time. Yeah, wish. I would like to come back and
to
be continuing this. She's a very fun headspace to be in. Yeah, wish plot-wise, though.
A meeting of the leaders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She has some ideas on how to deal with the people who witness stuff, and they're not nice.
Oh, so we're going to have an episode with Wei, then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Yun.
Yeah, I think she really wants to quench that. And does she have any morals about that?
I think we have to have a mini series, and it's just court drama.
I guess it can't be D&D then. There's a game of courtly intrigue. I'm just forgetting
for the queen.
Name of it.
For the queen?
Is that what it is? Yeah.
We're just gonna play for the empress.
Yeah. For the empress.
Oh my god. Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do a side thing of that.
Okay, sweet. And then we'll call it. We'll make it canon.
Yeah, but yeah, essentially plot wise. Those people are going to be dealt with, and probably not nicely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, dope. Dope. We're going to tear at Ning's heartstrings then.
Yeah.
Okay, Ning, how about you? What are your wishes? Steve, sorry, not Ning. Sorry, I just...
Ning's wish is to get out of that robe. Steve's wish is... Steve's wish is... I want to see more... However it takes place, more of the ministers. I'm really into the ministers you wrote.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see more of what happens here. Jin is, I stand for her. Like, she is a fashion icon and I'm into it.
Right?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, amazing.
They all four of the dukes will contrast each other.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, Yun is stoic. Jin is, glam. Wei is Wei.
Extra. Extra.
Extra. Wei is extra in his own way. And Chang is... the most common of the four nobles. Chang wears very simple clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to dive into that and all of the people who work for them. And by the end of this, we're going to have like a giant political org chart. We're going to have an org chart.
Yeah. Amazing. But yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff going on in the courts.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to explore that. Especially since the Empress doesn't have an heir.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we still haven't sorted out in the lore how the Empress passes on her power to manipulate water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll get there. My wish is just kiss. Just kiss. Just kiss already.
No. Yeah.
I had such a great time. I barely spoke, so... I had the day off today and I spent all, I was supposed to be doing some other writing and Steve came here and I was like trying to finish the writing I was supposed to be doing. I spent all afternoon just working out the politics of it and I'm so excited.
Oh, it paid off. Like this was,
So good.
So good. But thank you, Kiana, for joining us for this episode of Dungeons and Asians. And thank you, listener, for tuning in. Asians Represent, as always, is part of the One Shot Podcast Network. If you head to oneshotpodcast.com, you can listen to a variety of amazing, amazing shows. I'm not even going to shout out a specific one. Just head to oneshotpodcast.com. Look at all the amazing shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happen to be one of those amazing shows. But One Shot Podcast has been doing like a great job. James has assembled an amazing, amazing like suite of shows. I'm so thankful for the One Shot Network. I'm so happy that we signed on to be part of this. I'm happy that One Shot took a chance on us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, James. So shout out to you then, James D'Amato. If you have questions about this episode's themes, because there were many, all of the things that happened, or anything else related to Asians Represent, you know, get in touch with us on Twitter at AZNSRepresent or at AZNSRepresent at oneshotpodcast.com. You could find Steve on Twitter at
DEEEM Steve, DM Steve.
You can
on
find
Twitter.
Kiana at
Kiana S, KIENNAS.
You can find Amar at
Amar Ijaz, which is AMMARIJAZ, or just through the Asians Represent.
We'll do like a thing. And then, of course, you can find me on Twitter at Daniel H. Kwan. I'm Daniel.
I'm Amar.
I'm Kiana.
I'm Steve.
And you've just listened to
Asians Represent.